faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He just ain't going to save you and just let you go your merry way. He's going to save you, and he's going to make you what he wants to make you and what he wants you to be. You say, what does God want us to be? He wants us to be made in his image. And that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing today. As even as we sit here and look at the Word of God, God is making us into his image. Maybe part of that is patience. You say, oh man, I gotta come listen to this guy. Have some patience. God saved me in 1979. I was 17 years of age. I was a mess. I was just a mess. I was just messed up in the world, and I was not looking for God. I was not looking for what God had to offer, but God looking for me. And the Lord dealt with me and my heart that day at my house, in my home, through a friend of mine. And it ended up with me kneeling at my bedside and asking the Lord to save this messed up, wretched sinner. So I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by the grace of God. And that's why we're here. Amen. It's all worth it. We're not here because of anything else but the fact that we want to hear from God. And I always write out my messages. I always write them out. I'm not a guy that just flies off the cuff, you know. Maybe some guys can. I don't. I write out all my messages. I write them out all by pencil, by hand. Most times, two or three different times, because my writing is terrible. But you say, why do you do that? I do that for me personally. Because I want to make sure that what I say, I've thought about it. I've prayed about these things. Because I take preaching and standing here and speaking to you very, I take it a great responsibility. And I don't want to say anything that I might regret or that I might get done and say, man, are you crazy? I want to be able to say, leave and say that, you know what, I said what God wanted me to say, and I said the truth. So I hope you come back tonight, because I do have a message tonight that I think is very important. It's going to be kind of an offshoot of what we'll look at this morning. Tonight I want to talk about the rapture. The rapture. Listen, there is no topic I think more important in this time than the rapture. Because if I could bring out God's calendar, and God has a calendar, and God's calendar is not our calendar. I could tell you right now it's not. If you could look at God's calendar, he would have some important dates on it that you may not have on your calendar. And God has an important date on his calendar, and it's called the rapture. I don't know when it is, all I know is God. It's on God's calendar. And when that day comes up, something's going to happen. And you may not even be aware of it right now. You may not even understand what I'm talking about. And so that's why I hope you'll come back tonight, and we're going to look at a few things. So we might get a little bit of doctrine tonight. Not heavy, just basic doctrine. But stuff that you need to know, because listen, we are in, as the Word of God says, we are in. It's not like we're waiting. We are in. We are in these, what the Bible calls, perilous times. We are in them. We are in the last days. And so, having said that, that's what I want to speak to you a little bit about this morning. I want to speak a little bit about Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy. What's prophecy? Prophecy is just looking down the road. It's just looking, you know, You get in the car, you start driving down the road, and I hope that what you're doing, you're looking down the road to see what's down there, right? Stop sign, right? Something, whatever, you know, because that helps you to keep on life safe. And so that's what Bible prophecy is. Bible prophecy is things that God has put in here for us to help us see what is down the road. And when I say a Bible prophecy, I want to stress what 2 Timothy 3:16 says, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I hope that sink in. All Scripture, not just some Scripture that we like, but all Scripture, even the stuff that we might not like. And listen, there's some things in that Bible that I don't really like because it's against me, you know. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Let's get to the truth. If the King James Bible isn't the Scriptures, if this Bible here that I hold and you hold isn't the Scriptures, if it was not given by inspiration, then the truth is today that we might as well just pack it up and go home. Shut it down. Because we're just wasting our time. If, you notice I said if. But you know, this is exactly what the devil would have us to believe. And I believe he's a real devil. I don't think he's just, you know, this guy with a pitchfork in cartoons. The devil would have us to believe that the Bible isn't the Word of God. That's what he would have us to believe. And that the Bible is full of errors and mistakes. You see, it's to tear down the faith. And what we have going on today is not only do we have a tearing down of our nation with all the symbols and statues, but we also have a tearing down and have had for some time a tearing down of our faith. And that comes through different ways. You know, the Bible's full of mistakes. And even if it was the Word of God, you would not be smart enough to understand it. And so you need Greek and Hebrew scholars, and you need lexicons, and you need commentaries to help you to understand the Word of God. I say it because, as I say, that's what's going on out there today. But all those things are just a big lie, a big fat lie. Satan is the father of lies. That's what the Word of God tells us. He's the father of lies. How do we counter this lie or these lies? I thought about that as I prepared, and a verse in Jude came out to me. Jude, verse 20. Jude only has one chapter. He said this, and I'll read it to you as I wrote it down. He says, "But ye beloved," speaking to the Christians, "beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." Your faith, as what God said, is a holy faith. If you have faith today, if you've been saved, your faith is holy in the sight of God. Right? Why is that? Well, mainly because it's not really your faith. Right? It's not your faith. It's Christ's faith. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, "I live by the faith of who? Son of God." The Lord gave you your faith. You know, the truth be known, is more everything we have has been given to us by the Lord. Everything. Everything. We don't acknowledge that to our detriment, to our error. But everything we have is given to us by God. Everything. Our families. Our health. You know, and the truth is, all these things can be taken away very quickly. And sometimes God has to do that to us to get us to understand that truth. But we're to build up our holy faith. Notice, it's our responsibility. It's not the pastor's job, not the preacher, it's not Pastor Bob. It's your job to build up your holy faith. I guess I could ask the question, are you doing that? Are you doing that? Are you doing those things to help build up your holy faith? That's a great admonition, is it not? Great admonition. That's our job. You say, how do you do that? How about some good Christian music? I think, you know, in our Christian faith, we're being bombarded by stuff that they call Christian. It ain't Christian. It ain't Christian. And you ought not be listening to it because it's not Christian. And let me tell you, it's easy to tell it's not Christian. Just look at the people look at the people who are putting it out, and you'll know it's not Christian. We need to build ourselves up with good Christian preaching. Amen. You'll get some good preaching. There's a lot of good preaching out there. A lot of bad stuff, but if you need to know where to get some good preaching, I know Pastor Vaughn would be able to help you, to direct you to those places. Good Bible teaching, good fellowship. Building up your most holy faith. Is that not so important, especially in these days that we live in? We have to build up our holy faith. All those things that God can use in our lives to get us to focus on Him. That's what Jude is telling us. God wants us to focus on Him. Or as Paul said, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. The things above are eternal. The things below are temporal. The big difference is that one will last, one will perish, but the other will last forever. And I say these things because Bible prophecy will help us to do some of these things. The Bible prophecy will help us to build up that most holy faith. Because we'll understand that the Lord's in control. And listen, we need to understand that. We need to make ourselves aware every day that we see all this stuff going on, we see the mess going on. But we need to help ourselves understand that God is still in control. Let me just throw out a question. Who can understand Bible prophecy? Who can understand it? Well, if you listen to a lot of people out there, you can't understand it. You have to have them to help you understand it. But I want to say that any Christian believer can understand Bible prophecy. A lot of people think, and I've heard people say, oh, that book of Revelations, oh, that book is so hard to understand. You ever heard that? I heard that. I don't go there because it's too hard. It's not hard. Listen, the book of Revelations is not hard. It's hard to believe if you don't want to believe by faith, but it's not hard to understand. It's pretty. What it says, it is. But any Christian believer, anyone here today, can understand Bible prophecy. If you've been born again, if you have the Spirit of God, you can figure out what God is going to do in the not too distant future. You can do. God has a plan, and He has His own calendar, as I said. And man's calendar is not God's calendar. I want to take you to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, if you would, please. I've got to speed up here a little bit here, but Revelation 19, verse 10, and I know some of you have read this verse, but there's a little part here I want to just draw your attention to. Revelation 19, 10, "And I fell at His feet to worship Him, and He said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus Christ, and had the testimony of Jesus. Worship God." Now I want you to look at this last part of this verse. "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, I say that because, listen, if you have a testimony today, and you should, of where you have been saved, and there's no doubt in your heart and mind that there was a place and time when God saved you, then according to what you've just read, you have the spirit of prophecy. Meaning simply what? Meaning simply that you don't need Greek and Hebrew scholars. You don't need lexicons. You don't need commentaries. You got everything you need to know what God is going to do down the road, because you have His Spirit. Amen? You got a spirit. And if you had the Spirit of God, you know what you have? You have the greatest teacher of Scripture and spiritual things that you could ever want. And I know that's true, and I know that's what the Spirit of God does, because Jesus said to me that that's what He does. That's who He is. In John 14, verse 26... And you can flip over there. We can just flip over there. You don't. John 14:26, and this verse is a verse you need to have down and memorized or highlighted or whatever you, because it's a great verse. John 14:26. It's talking about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the Comforter. Notice the Comforter is not a small C; it's a capital C. That's who He is. That's a personal pronoun. That's his name. That's who He is. He's the Comforter. I don't know about you. I love that song. The Comforter will come. Comforter will come. Comforter will come. You like that song? That's a great song. And listen, when you got saved, God gave you His Spirit. That's the whole thing about being born again. You see, what is being born again? It's when the Spirit of God comes and indwells inside you. Right? You are born again of the Spirit of God. But in John 14, the verse says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things." How many has the word "all"? You got King James Bible, you probably do. You should. "He will teach you all things." Anything that you need to know concerning spiritual truths, it's his duty and job to teach you these things. Amen. Listen, there's been plenty of people who have been in places that haven't had commentaries, who haven't had these things. Got out there where there was nothing and said, God, I want to know the Bible. And the Spirit of God come in and say, okay, turn over there. Turn over there. How about that verse? Have you seen that one over there? Well, that would take you over to there. That's the way it goes. That's his job. But, you know, we're kind of bombarded with the thing that, you know, you have to get the latest and greatest next book on the topic or whatnot, you know. It's come out now, the latest and greatest author about this. And then you pick it up and you look at it, and he's got 15 different versions in there. You know, American Standard, Living Bible, New King James, you know what that all is? That is confusion. That is confusion. And if I read my Bible correctly, God is not the author. If you're confused today, and I hope you won't be by the time I'm done, it's my fault. God is not the author of confusion. Well, if God's not the author, then guess who is? The God of this world. The God of this world. There's two things that I would like to do this morning through my preaching today and tonight. First of all, I want to help you. You know, I'm actually helping myself too. And I know Nick is starting off, you know, preaching and things, and he'll figure that out as he goes. But a lot of times when you ask to preach and prepare messages, God's actually doing it to help you out. You know, because you need to sit down and you need to think about these things. But you want to help others too. So I want to help you out this morning, but I also want to do another thing that God just has kept on my mind, and I think that every preacher needs to, is that he needs to feed the flock. You know, we're God's sheep. We're all God's sheep. And God said, hey, if you love the sheep and if you're called to minister to the sheep, then you better feed my sheep. So I want to try to feed you the truth this morning. I want to talk a little on the second coming of Jesus Christ. Listen, if we ever needed to stop and think about this, it's now. It's today. With everything going on, and boy, there's a whole bunch going on, right? I mean, who would ever thought we'd be here, you know, 6 months ago? 6 months ago, I was driving the school bus thinking, man, school, one more month, we'll be done with school. And then, you know, I'll have my little vacation and planning out my schedule. But my schedule wasn't God's schedule. But who would ever thought we'd be here 6 months ago? And the second coming of Jesus Christ, what a great and important topic, right? The second coming. And I don't know if you understand, but the second coming, and we'll talk a little bit about this evening, but the second coming of Christ is in two parts. It's in two parts. Or some people would say two phases. And that would also probably be accurate, two phases. What do I mean by that? The first part of the second coming is the rapture. The second part is the advent. And it's all the second coming, but it's in two parts. And that is something that that every Christian needs to understand. Because if you don't understand that, then what's going to happen is you're going to get in the Bible and you're going to see some of these verses, and you ain't going to be able to, as Paul said, rightly divide the word of truth. You're going to put this here and that there, and it's going to be all conglomerated, and you ain't going to know what God's doing. And, you know, there are those out there today that say that the Lord's not coming. They say, not so, he's not coming. And especially, you know, getting in these days that we're in, we're going to see more of this. You can mark it down. We're going to see more of this stuff going on. That, oh, the Lord's not coming. You know, that stuff is just a scare tactic. Or it's just something made up by Christians that Jesus is coming. And the Bible tells us that it warns us that this is going to happen. And so what I'm doing this morning is I am also warning you that there, as the Bible says, are going to be scoffers in these last days. Scoffers. They are going to mock the coming of Jesus. So do not be discouraged. Do not let these things throw you. Look at 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3. I want to show you what I mean here. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Says, knowing this first, that there shall come, notice, the last days. Right now. These are the last days. That in these last days that come, who's going to show up? Scoffers. That there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. You know, you got people who claim to be Christian. You got people who claim to be ministers of the gospel. And they are standing in pulpits today as we are. And they are standing behind pulpits and they are scoffing the coming of Jesus Christ. Ministers of the gospel. But they're not ministers. They claim to be. But Paul said they're not. They are fake ministers. They don't believe the word of God. They don't believe anything in that book. They're just up there just to deceive. But notice what they're saying in verse 4. Notice what they're saying. Where is the promise of His coming? That's what they're saying. I mean, you know, we're blessed. We come to church, Pastor Vine, good pastor, believes the Bible, stands behind the pulpit, and tells you that exactly what I'm saying, Jesus is coming again. He believes it. But I'm going to tell you something, there are pulpits all over this country where people get behind these things and tell the people, They're saying exactly as the Bible. Where is the promise of His coming? Listen, can I tell you where the promise of His coming is? Where it's always been. The promise of His coming has not changed. It's not moved. It's not diminished. It is still exactly where it's always been and always will be in the Word. The only problem is people today have stopped believing the Word of God. And so that's why they're scoffing and saying, hey, where's the promise? You have left the promise of God. That's the issue. That's called the promise.
You had a foundation, you stood on something, but now, over time, because you've been brainwashed with all these things, you have left that position. And now you're over here. And now you say, no, it's not true. God has error, and he has error. But what was happening? You left the position. But the position is still the same. The truth is truth. I don't care what Joe Biden says. He says, we need truth, but not facts. How do we have truth without facts? I'm still trying to figure that out. We need truth without facts. Listen, truth and facts, they go hand in hand. He's still trying to figure out his role, what the president is saying. He's still trying to figure out what the Constitution is. Is that what it is?
But I'm not going to go there. I promised myself I wouldn't go there. Okay. I gotta close this thing out here. I'm going to look at some verses this morning. And I got 5-10 more minutes to go here. But I am going to turn a couple some places, and I want you to look at what the Lord said. You know, what I say, I'll be quite honest with you, and you probably, I know you agree with me. What I say, it doesn't mean so much. But what Christ said means everything. Amen. It means everything. You know, you look in the, you know, for me, You know what's the comfort for me? I look in the Word of God and I go to the Gospels and I see the red letters. Somehow I stop putting red letters in. I like the red letters. Because you know what that means? That means that this is what Jesus said. And I like that. I find comfort in that. So what I want to do is I want to show you exactly this morning what Jesus said about his own coming. And then you can believe it or you can not believe it. You know, I think I'm in the crowd that believes it, but I also know that out there is another crowd that don't really care much about what these things. Matthew 16, if you would please. I got four verses. Yesterday I barbecued a roast on my barbecue, and my wife pulled, I didn't really know how to do this particular roast. My wife pulled up a thing on the internet, and this guy was called back searing. Some of you may know what that stuff is. I didn't know what back searing is. It's, you cook it, and then when you get done, you heat it up and get the sear on it. You know, they call it back searing. So I thought, that's kind of funny. I guess I'm going to back sear my message this morning. I'm going to give you probably what I should have gave you at the beginning. Amen. Hey, you know what? You ought to have a good time in the house of God. Amen. I mean, I know it's a solemn place because this is the Lord's house, but we can have a good time. We can laugh and we can be happy in the Lord. And Matthew 16 and verse 27, if you would, please. I just want to let you see what the Lord said. And my Bible, this is in red letters. So maybe you need to get you a red letter Bible. But that's just a thought. Matthew 16:27. Notice what Jesus says here about himself. About himself. For the Son of Man, what's those next two words? Shall what? He said this of himself. He said, for the Son of Man,
And that is where I am going to end up. Even so, he shall come
in the glory of his Father. Listen, won't that be an awesome sight? That's going to be the most awesome. You know, there have been some awesome sights out there and things. But can you imagine the sight of the Lord Jesus coming back in the glory of his Father? You can't even comprehend that thing. You can't comprehend the Lord coming back on a, as Revelation says, on a white stallion, in the vesture dipped in blood, and on his thigh's name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who holds all power and authority, and is the judge of the whole earth, and who is going to judge the secrets of men, everything that man has done that they thought they got away with. You thought you got away with it, but you haven't stood before the judge of all the earth. Do you know who called him that? Abraham. Lord showed up there, out there in the desert. Clocks are going everywhere. All right. Let me give two more. Well, I'm not going to go. John 14. I hate a long-winded preacher. John 14. Oh, this is a great verse, hey? John 14. You say, you don't believe this, do you? I believe every word. Oh, you don't believe that God has mansions in heaven, do you?
Oh, he's got mansions. He's got a heaven full of mansions. Just because I can't see it don't mean it's not real. A lot of things I don't see, but are real.
John 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. Listen, why would you want a Bible that changes mansions to rooms or dwelling places? Come on now. Get the real deal, amen? Mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Lord's not going to lie to you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what's those last three words? I will. I will. That kind of sounds like Matthew shall come. I will come again. I will come again. Lord don't have no doubt. There's no doubt in his mind that he's coming back. Lastly, John 21, if you would please. John 21. John 21. The Lord is talking to Peter here. Peter's a little upset. He's a little angry at what the Lord's doing. You know, sometimes we get that way, don't we? Sometimes we get a little angry at God because we think we know what we're doing. That's Peter. Of course, we don't know what we're doing, do we? God knows what he's doing. And so Peter was a little put out, and the Lord says to Peter in verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry, and what's the last words there? Till I come. Till I come. Lord say, hey, Peter, listen, just get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself, you know. Sometimes you gotta do that, you know. Sometimes you gotta say to yourself, I say it to myself all the time, Charles, get a hold of yourself, man. Sometimes my wife tells me that. Brother Hickman, he knows about that stuff. Brother Hickman, get a hold of yourself. That's what the Lord's telling Peter. Get a hold of yourself. Slow it down. Slow it down. The Lord was totally positive he was returning. There was no doubt in his mind, nor should there be any doubt in our minds. Not a single doubt. Listen, you ought not have one speck of doubt in your mind, in your heart, that Jesus is coming. He just told you. I showed you three. He just told you, he said of himself, I'm coming back. I shall come. I will come. And you know what the Lord's trying to get Peter to do? He's trying to get Peter to stay focused. Stay focused. And you know, we're in the times now and things are kind of crazy. And you know what? We need to encourage one another. Amen. Say, hey, brother. Hey, stay focused. Focused on the truth with facts that Jesus is coming again. Stay focused. In other words, run your race. Run the race. That's a good message there. Good offshoot that one. Run the race. Don't get distracted by things. Don't get discouraged by others. This others will discourage you. Don't do that. Run the race. Paul said, he said this, so run that ye may obtain. What's Paul talking about? Heavenly rewards. Heavenly rewards. You know, I think a lot of times we forget that God has some rewards for us. And we hear about these things and we think, crowns. We don't understand what God has for us. If you could see what God has for you, you would probably change your attitude very quickly. And you would get more busy, and I would get more busy than what we do. You know, I'll close with this. Paul said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Do you love God this morning? I hope you do. You should. I know this, my brother. God loves you. And if you're here not saved, God loves you so much that He sent His Son to die on a cross. A rugged, rugged cross. Was it pretty? It was rugged. You can be saved today if you would just simply do what I have done many. Call upon His name. God, save me. I'm a sinner. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for many blessings. We pray and ask that you might bless the song of invitation now. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts through the message this day, Lord. Maybe somebody here today, God, maybe somebody here is not prepared. Maybe they're not thinking about the fact that you are. Lord, you're almost here, God. Lord, your coming could be any second. God, help us to be aware and help us to be ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, please, if you would. Andrew, you got a song of invitation for us? Search your hearts this morning, if you would, please. Have you been thinking about the Lord coming? Has that been on your heart and mind this week? This month? This year? How about this year? Have you thought about Jesus coming again? He said, "Brother, I don't got time for that. I'm busy. I'm making money. I'm busy. I'm making deals. I'm selling stuff. Better make time." We'll sing one more line of invitation. Close it out.